Now verse 23, and we're going to look at Christ and his person as a perpetual and perfect priest. Will you listen to this? And they truly were many priests, that is, in the Levitical order, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, that the priesthood that you have in the Old Testament always ended by death. Aaron died, just as Moses did. And I've always felt that the death of Aaron, if it wasn't greater, was just as great a loss to Israel as the death of Moses, for the simple reason they've lost their high priest, the one who went with them through the wilderness, who knew them and understood them. Now they have to have a new one. And you and I don't need to have a changing priesthood. In fact, it doesn't change. Verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. The Lord Jesus Christ won't be dying anymore. He died once for sins, but never again will he die. And he's there all the time for you. I read this letter from the man down in Puerto Rico that late at night for him, as he comes home from work in this oil refinery, he listens to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God ministers the Word of God to him down there late at night. And he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought at the time, the Lord Jesus knew all about that man long before I got a letter and knew about him. And I didn't know that late at night down there, he was listening. The Lord Jesus knew he was, because he has an unchangeable priesthood. And that means that he's on duty 24 hours a day. That means 11:30 at night down there, he knows this man. He understands this man. He ministers the Word of God to this man. And if he doesn't do it, it won't be done, I can assure you that. And very frankly, friends, I just rejoice in the privilege of giving out the Word today, because God will minister that. The Lord Jesus is great high priest. And when that fellow heard it down there, up here, I was really in bed. I wasn't speaking. I just made a tape, as I'm making one right now. And so while I'm sleeping, there's a high priest up yonder, and he's going to make the Word effective, friends. How wonderful it is. Let's give him all the praise and glory. And if you have any criticism, give that to me, because I'm to blame. But let's praise him. Let's give him the glory. Now he comes to this tremendous verse here, and in one way, I suppose this is the key verse to this section, and it's the very center of the gospel. And let me read it. Verse 25. Wherefore, here we go again with another one of these hinges on the door of time. This little hinge swings a big door back to what's gone before and swings on into what's coming in the future. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, this is quite a wonderful verse. It says, first of all, here, that Christ is not dead, but he's living right now, this very moment. He's alive. He's up there to make intercession for us. And we have the emphasis upon the death and resurrection of Christ, but we ought to go on from there, you see. And we ought to have to do today with the living Christ. We know him no longer after the flesh. We know him today as our great high priest at God's right hand. And friends, that's what we need to go on to today. That's where we need to put the emphasis today. He died down here to save us, but he lives up there to keep us saved. He's able to keep on saving us too, by the way. And he saves to the uttermost. Now, that means all the way through. That means he's able to save us completely and perfectly. When he undertakes the job, well, he is the great shepherd that up to right this moment has never lost a sheep. And you want to know something? He's never going to lose one. And if you are one of his sheep, you may feel like you're going to be lost, but if you're his sheep, he's up there for you, and he's watching over you. And now we are told here that he makes intercession. That actually means intervention. He intervenes for us. We shall be saved by his life, Paul says in Romans 5:10. Because John wrote, he says, "My little born ones, these things write I unto you that you sin not." Well, John, you're not talking to me, because you are really talking to a saint that sins. I do a lot of things that are wrong. Now, John, do you have a word for me? Well, my little born one, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, now you're getting somewhere. We have an advocate. We have a paraclete. We have a comforter. We have somebody to stand at our side. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And everything he does is right up there. Everything he does is righteous. And may I say, we shall be saved by his life. And how wonderful to know that we have a living Christ today. You're not alone, friend. You see, this is all baby stuff. To sit down today and cry, "Oh, I'm having this problem and I'm so alone. There's nobody to help me. To whom shall I go?" My friend, what do you think he's doing up there? Aren't you conscious of him? Why don't you turn to him? I remember I took the mother of a man that was running away with another woman and was leaving his wife, and I took her to talk to the other woman. The other woman hadn't changed her mind. She was going with him, and she went with him. And this poor mother, when I took her home, she just got down in the bottom of the car, right down on the floorboard, as I drove along, and began to cry out, "Oh God, why have you forsaken me?" But by the time that we got to her home, she was more composed, and she apologized, and she says, "I'm sorry that I said that God has forsaken me. I don't believe that he has." And I said, "No, you can be sure of one thing, that he ever lives to make intercession for you. And though we are faithless, he's always faithful to us. And it's wonderful to know that he's up there for us, friends."